Well, hello again. I welcome you again this week to these lessons as we are journeying our way into the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. I mean that with all of my heart. I believe we're already in the edge waters of it. And Lord, we thank you not for a trickle, not for a stream, not even for a river. Lord, give us waters to swim in, waters so vast they cannot be passed over. Let the river of life, let the Holy Spirit flow, that we have to swim in it, Lord. Glory to God. Well, I have a whole lesson I love to teach on that, but not today. This is lesson 12. I don't know how many of these there will be. This my every week, I think this is the last one. And then come to find out it's not. I thought last week was a fairly good summary of where we had been. But I would, then, of course, you continue to pray and meditate. And this one is, I love this one. I love all of them. I guess you can tell that. This is Recoding the Mind, Lesson 12, if I'm not mistaken. And the subtitle is, Do Not Be Double-Minded. Do not be double-minded. Now, I'm going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture. Yes, go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. But I'm telling you, this series has opened up my understanding to what this is really talking about more than anything else in my life. I really believe from here on, with the knowledge that I've received and hopefully with the knowledge you've received now, none of us are going to be as double-minded as we have been in the past. We're going to recognize there's one mind that's following God and another one that's not. It's double-minded, you know. God says this, and did God say? There's the devil. No, all the way from Genesis. God said. Did God really say? Anyhow, double-minded. All right, let's read this passage in James, and then we'll start elaborating on it. Now, I'm going to start in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, when I say wisdom, we're not really talking about knowing good from evil. To be honest, you received that in full the day you got born again. When you were born again, God wrote in your heart and in your mind his laws. And you can read that real plain over in Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 10. And it's even prophesied in the Old Testament, I will write my laws in their hearts and their minds. You won't need for man to teach them these things. They'll all know me from the least to the greatest. And that's why I tell people all the time, if you go to a church service and that message that day was, let's say, lying is wrong, and you go, that's news to you, and you go bat your eyes, what? It's wrong to lie? Who knew? Well, you need to get saved, because the moment you get saved, the instant you get saved, there's a conscience, a new spirit, a new sheriff in town, and you instantly know lying is wrong, stealing is wrong, covetousness is wrong, fornication is wrong, adultery is wrong, and I could go on and on and on. You know it, and you know it instantly, and nobody has to teach you those things. So that's not the kind of wisdom that he's talking about here. And as a backup to all that, you also have his word, which will never be in violation of that conscience, the conscience he gave you when you're born again. The Spirit and the Word agree. And that means the Holy Spirit and the Word and your new born again Spirit and the Word agree. So this wisdom he's talking about, if you leave it in context, they were going through all sorts of persecutions and trials during this period in history. And wisdom, what to do, you know, like, what, do we stay? Do we go? Do we move? Do we meet in secret? Do we meet in public? What are we going to do, you know? And wisdom. Well, let's bring it to our day where the persecution is not yet quite so severe, at least not in America. It is in some countries. But here it's the wisdom. The way I've needed this verse mainly is, Lord, what would you have me do? We all have universal mandates from the Lord to pray and to fast and to study the Word, meditate the Word. We all have mandates that apply to all of us from the Word of God. Feed the, if you find somebody. He told me one time, he says, I'm not going to hold you responsible for every hungry person in the world, but I'm sure going to hold you responsible for the Lazaruses that I lay at your gate. And as you journey through life, you'll find he will occasionally put a Lazarus at your gate, somebody that you just know, uh-oh, this one's mine. I'm supposed to help in whatever capacity. But wisdom, to know what to do with me, it's been, I didn't even know I was called to be a teacher at the beginning of this, you know. I thought really I was going to wind up being either a pastor or a missionary, because that's what I knew growing up. The churches I grew up in, they said pretty much all of the fivefold had passed away except for pastor. And I guess they would have said Sunday school teacher, although you can't find that. And missionary, you know, evangelist, I guess they would have said. But they thought apostles and prophets and so forth had passed away. Well, you find out they haven't passed away either. And so anyway, I didn't even know I was a teacher till I was just doing the message as Pastor Dave taught us to do it. And one day the Holy Spirit told me. I just found out that way that I'm a teacher. And as I've walked in that over the years, I can sure tell I'm a teacher. I'm not a pastor. Thank God I didn't try and pastor a church. I do not have the giftings, say it nicely, of a pastor. I'm more like a teacher. You better not fall asleep in my class. I'll wrap your knuckles with my ruler and wake you up. You know, pay attention. Pastors are a little more gentle, usually. And anyway, that's not the lesson either. What I'm saying is, in the context of these teachings, and as we are all going into this end time revival, I need to know my part. You need to know your part. You need to know what God's calling you to do. You need to hear his voice and obey his voice the same way as any in the fivefold ministry. And he has equipped us to do that. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, if you're one of his sheep, you hear his voice. And we've all been given the Holy Spirit, not only as our teacher, and thank God he is our teacher, but also as our guide. He will guide you into all truth. And several times you'll read in the book of Acts, I remember that time where Paul and Silas had finished their assignment. Basically, they had gone and strengthened the churches in a certain area, and they didn't know what to do next, where to go. And so they were thinking, maybe we need to go to Bithynia, maybe we need to go to Asia, maybe here, maybe there. And so they didn't know. They need wisdom, right? They need direction. And, you know, in a vision in the night. Now, whether that's a dream, I don't know. Maybe he was awake and just had a vision in the night. I don't know. But, boy, the Holy Spirit came with precise instructions. There appeared to him a man of Macedonia. I don't know how he knew that. Maybe it said Macedonia on a T-shirt. I'm teasing. But a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I think if the Lord, if I was asking the Lord what to do and I had that dream, I think I would know what to do. Okay, time to go to Macedonia. Pack the bags. We're out of here. Well, we're all in need of that wisdom. Now let's look at our verses here. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, Lord, I don't know what to do. Now, wisdom, again, sorry, wisdom is not knowledge. Knowledge, you know, how do you make a salad? Well, first time, maybe somebody has to show you. Well, you get lettuce and tomato and cucumbers and this and this and this. You chop them like this and so forth. That's knowledge. Oh, I should eat one. They're good for me. That's wisdom. Well, how many should I eat a week? Wisdom, different than knowledge. Okay. If any of you lack wisdom. So he's really talking about what to do. What would you have me do? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Too many people don't even ask. Later on, he gives us example in the same letter about these rich men who are going to go to such and such a city, and they're going to buy and sell and get gain. And he says, well, all such boasting is evil. What you should do is first say, Lord, if it's your will, we'll live. Now, how fundamental is that? If the Lord wills, we shall live and go do this or that. But only if the Lord wills. Find out what his will is. And that's wisdom, see. Okay. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. I love that word liberally. Listen, he is a good, good father. The song is not wrong. He is a good, good father. He is not withholding his wisdom from you. If you want to know what to do, he will give it to you, and he will give it to you liberally. He will, if you don't understand it, he'll explain it some more. And if you still don't understand it, he'll explain it some more. And he'll get it right down to where you have to have it, you know. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Sometimes he has to give it to me several times in several ways before I go, oh, you want me to give everything away free? Oh, okay. He will give liberally to all men. He'll give it to you liberally. And upbraideth not. He doesn't treat you like you're stupid. In fact, he looks forward to, he thinks you're smart. If you're smart enough to come ask him, what do you want me to do? What is your wisdom? What would you have me do, Lord? He thinks you're a smart person to do that. He doesn't upbraid you. But if you'll ask, okay, let's just read the whole thing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He won't get on to you for asking. And it shall be given him. Don't you love shall? Not maybe so. Not sometimes. If you ask, it shall. If you ask, it shall be given you. Whew. Verse 6. But now here's the thing. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Boy, does that remind you of Peter walking on the water. Yeah, I'm almost sure there. I would, lay odds that James is thinking at when he's writing this, you know, about that time that Peter, he was walking on the water. You talk about operating in God's wisdom. Man's wisdom says you can't do that, but God's wisdom says, well, if I say you can, you can. And so here he is walking on the water, but then notice he got to observing the wind and the waves, and down he went, see? But he says that when you wave, and Jesus asked him, why did you doubt? That observing the circumstances, Jesus plainly called doubt. Whew, I'm teaching too much and not reading enough, I think. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Like Peter, don't be wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You're going to see why. For years I went, well, does God just withhold it? What? If I waver, I'm not going to receive anything of the Lord? Okay, I know now what now. Why? And for a love offering of $19.95. No, I'm too. Gary, when are you going to quit doing that? Probably never. It's fun. Now, I'm going to give it to you free. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now we know. I know why. Well, you'll know why by the end of this lesson. Here it is. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, we could go on. We could go on, but that's the heart of the lesson today. Double-minded man. And the lesson subtitle on today's is don't be double-minded. Do not be double-minded. What is a double-minded man? I hope you got to hear last week's message where we were talking about the difference between the natural 3.5-pound brain and the mind of Christ that's in your new man. When you get born again, you receive a spirit that has a mind that's created after the same kind as Jesus Christ. We have the mind of Christ. This mind that you have in your new man, it is within the brain, I think. I'm not sure about that. But anyhow, it's deeper than your 3.5-pound gray matter. Last week, we went into great detail showing the difference between your spirit mind and your gray matter mind. The gray matter mind is very important. It has a function. It believes what it sees. It believes what it feels. And I'll quickly go through it again, just in case you didn't hear last week. Even in the apostles, they weren't born again yet. They only had the 3.5-pound gray matter brain. And even though Jesus had told them ahead of time that he was going to be raised from the dead, here they are huddled together for fear of the Jews. They're hidden away in a room. And Mary Magdalene shows up at the tomb before dawn. Jesus appears to her. She comes and tells the apostles, he is risen. I've seen him. What was their response? We don't believe you. You know. So then Mary goes back after dawn with a group of women. They all see Jesus. They actually handle him. It says they touched his feet and spoke with him, heard him talk. they come and tell the apostles, he is risen. The gray matter in the apostles, we didn't believe Mary. We don't believe you women either. We don't know why you'd come lie to us. Now, I'm adding that part, but that's what it means when we say we don't believe you. Their words were as idle tales. These women, idle tales. Anyway, then comes these two men from Emmaus. They walked and talked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They asked him questions and he answered, and they asked him to stay, and they were having supper. And they didn't know it was him until he broke bread. When he said the blessing, something about his voice, something. It says, you know, somehow they saw him and they knew it was Jesus. Well, they come back and they tell the apostles, okay, we have seen Jesus. He is risen from the dead. We didn't believe. Now, here's the gray matter. See, this is so important. I'm going back over this because it's important. This is the double-minded thing you're going to see today. They're going, we didn't believe Mary. We didn't believe Mary and the other women. We don't believe you guys either. Why? We don't know why you'd come and tell us these tales, but we don't believe you. Okay, then Jesus appears to the 10. Thomas wasn't there that day. Later on, they tell Thomas, we have seen him. He was here. He was in the room, even though the door was shut. We talked with him. He ate food and he's gone. But we've seen him. Jesus is risen from the dead. Thomas, gray matter. I didn't believe Mary. I didn't believe the other women. I didn't believe the two men from Emmaus, and I don't believe you either. I don't know why you'd tell me this, but I won't believe until I started to see it. But what he really said was, until I touched the palm and put my hand in the palm where the nail prints are, and put my hand in his side where they pierced him. In other words, I won't believe it till I see it. Well, then eventually eight days later, Jesus appears again. This time Thomas is there. Thomas, touch me, handle me, here, put your hand here. And Thomas, he's seen now with his own, his gray matter has seen it. And he says, my Lord and my God. Now see, that's the absolute way that this thing is supposed to function on planet Earth. Now Jesus told him something really important though. He said, Thomas, you're blessed because you have believed having seen. But more blessed, in the Greek, it's actually more blessed are those that have believed who have not seen. See, that's all of us. And then we went through, well, how's that possible? Because these are apostles, and not one of them believed the reports of anybody else till they saw it with their own eyes. How are we supposed to believe it, having not seen it with our own eyes? And the difference is the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Then he says later, no man comes to me unless he's drawn by the Holy Ghost. But it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit when the gospel is preached. And we went through that lesson also, how the gospel is the power of God, but that penetrating power is, that dynamite comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why, boy, when Christ and him crucified is preached correctly, and that drawing of the Holy Ghost, man, you're like, you got to dig into the pew with your fingernails trying not to go forward in that altar call. The Holy Ghost. So thank God for the Holy Spirit helping us believe, having not seen. But now, let's talk about being double-minded. In last week's lesson, I gave several examples, starting with the apostles. But listen, anytime that the Lord tells you something, you've got a spiritual mind. Now that you're born again, you've got a spiritual mind on the inside of you that is capable of believing things beyond, can I say, the Newtonian physical laws of this universe. More specifically, any of you that might have been trained in physics a little bit, Newtonian are all of the laws that we use for everything, ships, cars, boats, everything. It's like force equals mass times acceleration, E equal MC squared, on and on. All of the physical laws, and thank God for them, understanding them is how we've been able to do much of the things that we do. And it is important, again, God gave you this I don't have to pray and ask God when to change the oil in my car. That's a natural thing that my natural brain understands. You know, if the bus is coming down the street, I know not to step in front of the bus. You know, we're supposed to trust that. It's a great tool to navigate in this world. But as a son of God from another world, I'm talking about you, son or daughter, you're, you know, hey, listen, if If I can be the bride of Christ with these hairy legs, you women can be a son of God, okay? So we're all in the same boat here. Listen, he's called us to a supernatural walk. He said the works that he did, these supernatural things, we're going to do them also, and even more we'll do because he's with the Father. And he says, the works that I do, you're going to do also. Well, did he mean it or not? Well, yeah, he meant it. So we went to the, you know, how did his mind function? You know, again, and I'm trying not to review too much, but it's just, we're going to build on this now. When the disciples were having trouble crossing the big lake, Sea of Galilee, I think it was, and a storm came, and they're out in the middle, and they're not making any progress. The wind is really strong. Jesus didn't go with them, but somehow, it's night, but somehow the Holy Spirit enables Jesus to see or know that they're in trouble out there. Now, Jesus doesn't have a boat. He's there on the shore, and somehow he knows. Well, what do you want me to do? I mean, he's a servant, right? He's the son, full heir of the kingdom, but he says he made himself a servant. He said, I've not come to do my own will. I've come to do the will of him that sent me. Well, here he is. The Father shows him. Remember, he says, I don't do anything but what I see my Father do it. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father say it. Well, the Father shows him, the disciples, somehow, it's struggling out there in this storm. What do you want me to do? That part's not in there, but, well, what if the instruction comes, something like, well, just walk on the water and go on over there to him. All right, well, and now there's an instruction for the spiritual mind. Got that mind, okay? Just walk on the water. Don't you know there's another voice immediately from the other mind, that one that comes part and parcel with the 3.5-pound brain, it's going, you can't walk on the water. It's impossible. And they'll start giving you all these physical laws, density and mass and viscosity and all of these things. You can't walk. No, you're a human. That's water. Humans can't walk on water. You know, that, like, they'll come like machine gun bullets. Gary, how do you know this? Oh, trust me, I know this. Practically everything he's ever said for us to do, that mind, that second mind, that natural mind goes, you can't do that. That won't work. That's impossible. Nobody does it like that. You didn't hear God. You're stupid. None of you probably ever heard that. I've heard that so many times. I recognize it real quick when it comes now. I say, oh God, that's you again. Shut up. And we went through this somewhat last week on that lesson about servants upon horses. See, the natural brain is supposed to be our servant in this world. It's like a calculator. Again, I have several calculators in the house. I use them. They're important. They are helpful to me. They're great tools. But I never have sat down in front of any one of my calculators and said, what should I do? I need wisdom. Talk to me. See, but that's what happens so much of the time, because we're limited to the thinking of the calculator, the servant, rather than listening to what the Holy Spirit is bringing to our spiritual mind. Your spiritual mind is able to hear things from God, which is from a whole different realm. Obviously, that's what it means when it says the kingdom of God is at hand. You could say the kingdom of God is available. Listen. The laws of physics, whatever they are, in the kingdom of God, rule over the physical laws of this world. This world was created by the spiritual realm. So the laws of that spiritual realm are greater than the laws of this physical realm. And if you're just going to be limited to the natural 3.5-pound brain realm, that mind, it's going to talk you out of obeying God just about every time. Just pretty much every time. Just a minute. Incoming. Just a minute. Okay. Jesse Duplantis tells this story, and I don't know why the Lord's bringing this one. There's so many examples he could bring, but Jesse was in a convention one time as a, not as a speaker, but in the audience, and the altar call came, not altar call, I'm sorry, offering time came, And he's, you know, Jesse's asking on the inside, and Lord, what, you know, would you have amount you want me to give into the offering? And he said, just immediately, he heard $10,000. Jesse was like, gasp. It's like, Lord, 10,000, you know, all this is on the inside. You don't ever say this on the outside, but you know, here comes the offering. They're getting closer and closer to his row, you know, $10,000. Lord, that just about take everything we have. That's all I got. And the Lord says, I'm not asking you to go into debt. I didn't ask for more than you have. but God, and he says, about that time, Jesse noticed the man sitting next to him looked like, you know, he's in distress. You know, he's sweating bullets over here. He says, are you okay? And the guy says, I was asking the Lord what to give, and I think the Lord told me to give $10,000. Jesse goes, I heard him too. That must have been him telling you to give $10,000. So as soon as he turns away from that, God goes, no, Jesse, don't worry about him. I'm telling you to give $10,000. Well, there's that double-minded thing. Because immediately, the first thing that comes to your mind is, I got this bill to pay. I got that bill to pay. I've got payroll. I've got this. I've got that. No matter, no telling what all. See, and you do have to learn to hear his voice, because you know, you're going to have your trips to the barber shop. I hope you know what that means. Real simply, you think you heard God and you find out you didn't. Well, you're going to make mistakes along the way. Welcome to the club. Dave told us about some of his trips to the barber shop. I've told you about some of my trips to the barber shop. There's going to be times when you think you heard God and you didn't, and you'll find out you didn't, but you acted on it anyway. Well, that's part of the learning process. And let me tell you, from experience as well as the word, God is the God of the second chance. He is proud of you that you're doing your best to try and hear and obey God. You think he's going to kick you to the curb because you made a mistake? He's going to pick you up, dust you off, say, oh, learn from that boy, girl, learn from that, and here's some more money, and we're going to go again, or whatever it is, you know. Receive your teaching, take your trips to the barbershop, just like the rest of us have. All right. So in that case of Jesse, he's hearing the Lord, I want you to give 10,000 in the offerings. You know, we don't know what all's going on. God doesn't do things without reason. There's a reason why. Who knows exactly what it was? But God is talking to Jesse. Jesse asked for wisdom. What do you want me to do? I want you to give 10,000 into this offering. Here comes the double mind. See, you've got the mind of Christ, the mind in you that's able to hear God, get instructions. But there's another mind inside that natural brain that's going to argue with it every time. God has hardly ever told Sue and I to do anything that other voice, that double mind, the natural brain, didn't chime in saying, we can't do that. I remember when the Lord, again, I'm using the same examples again and again, but it's, you know, I'm just, all I can do is tell you from my life, the examples that we've lived, and maybe a few that I've heard. But when the Lord told us, and we had no income of any kind, this was long before we were ever on Social Security or anything, we didn't have any kind of, no kind of disability income, nothing. God told us to go full time. No, nothing. Guaranteed, zero, nothing coming in, zero. But he told me. So my mind came up with all kinds of things. I said, like, okay, well, at that time, I thought maybe I was going to pastor a church, and so we'll take up offerings. And one of the early instructions he gave us when he started having the Bible study in our home is, don't take up any offerings from these people. Oh, okay. Then I thought, when he started talking to me about giving away the cassette tapes, well, all the churches that I knew in those days sold their cassette tapes. I said, oh, okay, that's one way he's going to do it. We'll make these cassette tapes, and we'll sell them to people. Very shortly after that thought came, no, I don't want you to sell any cassettes. I want you to give them all away free. Okay, well, maybe when we send them, then that'll be an open door, and we can put in a return. Now, just the natural brain, just thinking. I don't know how we're going to provide. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. All I know is I'm hearing God say these things, and I want to obey God. Don't you? You know, and so. Okay, we'll sell the cassette tapes. And then he says, no, I want you to give them all away free. I want you to pay the postage. And then he says, don't even put in a return envelope and don't you ever send out an appeal letter. In fact, he said it this way, don't ever let another human know any of your needs personally or anything that the ministry needs. And if you'll obey me in this, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you, your needs, and the needs of the ministry. And he's been doing that ever since. And that's been 25 years or so. We were officially incorporated in 1996. So we've been full time really since a little before then. And here it is, 2025. So it's been roughly 25 years. And I haven't starved. We live in a home with the roof doesn't leak. It's got a heater and an air conditioner. Thank you, Jesus. Got two cars in the driveway with gas in them. Got food in the fridge. God is good. And he's been doing exactly what he said. Shocker. God does what he says. But that's where the double-minded, it took a long time for me to understand it. I understand it to some degree, but boy, this series on recoding the brain has really helped me isolate what that is. What the double mind, it's what you hear when you ask for wisdom. Very often that wisdom is going to come when it comes from heaven. It's going to come with actions that going to require the physics of heaven to work instead of the physics of this world. Again, I go back to walking on the water. Physics of this world will never say that's possible. Turning water into wine, physics of this world will never say that's possible. Opening the eyes of the blind, the lame man, birth defects, born lame from his mother's womb. One was healed at the gate beautiful, then another one was healed by Paul at Lystra. Just on and on. The paralyzed man that Peter prayed for that had been bedfast for 8 years. I mean, boy, that's a stretch now. 8 years. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Get up, make your bed, and the guy does. Oh, God. This is supernatural. All that really means is it's the physics of another world being imposed on the physics of this world. But God calls that natural. That's what's supernatural to us. It's just natural for him. He would go, huh, another day at the office, you know. I'm just ho-hum. Oh, new eyes, okay. Oh, your leg cut off. Here you go. New leg. And we all go, what? And, oh, well, another day at the office. Just natural to God. Because his realm is just not the same as this realm. Let not that man. See, boy, can I relate to this. Let not that double-minded man think he is going to receive anything from the Lord. Right then I saw Noah. It took him 100 years roughly to build that big ark. They lived longer in those days, but it took him 100 years. 100 years. I don't think the rotation and the orbit has changed since then. 100 years to build that ark. And what if Noah had been double-minded? Oh, we're going to build this great ark, and it's going to save mankind, you know. And God told me next day. I don't know. What? Rain? We've never seen rain. Have any of y'all ever seen? They go, what is rain? Because no, it never rained on the earth. It says the earth was watered by a mist at that time. It's going to rain. What is rain? Well, I think water is going to fall out of the sky. What? We've never seen rain. We've never seen water fall out of the sky. Well, that's what God said. It's going to rain 40 days, 40 nights. And water is going to cover the whole. What? And we're supposed to build this ark. What? Where's the electricity for our power tools? No power tools. Wow. No wonder it took 100 years. And it's a huge thing. If you've ever seen the one they've made according to scale. I've never been there, but I've seen pictures of it. This thing is massive. It's like an ocean liner. Anyway, What if he'd been double-minded? There wouldn't be no humans on earth. He would never have built the ark. He can't be double-minded about this. Oh, it shall be so easy for you to discern the difference between the mind of Christ and the natural mind of this world. It's only difficult in the beginning because you have grown up the vast majority of your life being led by the servant, the natural mind of this world. These things are just new to you, but with practice and experience and growth and maturity, walking according to the Spirit will become very easy. And you'll easily discern the voice of doubt. You'll easily discern the voice of that second mind that is not of my mind, says the Lord. So receive this wisdom, receive this truth, and begin to step out, because the more you practice listening, hearing, and obeying my voice, the easier it will be for you to discern the voice of the natural man. And you'll discount the natural and walk with me in the supernatural, says the Lord. You shall do the same works. You shall do the same works, says the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Sorry, I got to go practice now. Oh, my. I'm looking. It's okay. I ask him all the time, please take over. Please feel free to just interrupt anytime that you feel like you want to. See, he's reminding me, even when it comes to the early days of just learning how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, because those instructions, when they come, sometimes they're not of this world, you know. I remember the time, one of the early times that I was just learning, Sue and I were learning about the gifts of the Spirit and how to operate in them. And we were in this little church in Ocala, Florida, and praying, you know, for people and just doing what we do and you know, laying hands and praying, listening as hard as we knew how. And I'm going down the line praying for these people, and come to this next lady I'm going to pray for is this beautiful little Southern Belle lady. Now, I'm not very tall. I'm, you know, about, at then I was probably 5'8". Now I'm about 5'5". Anyway, but even to me, she was about here, you know, and little Southern Belle, I mean, perfectly dressed and every hair in place and gray haired, just, you know, beautiful little Southern Belle lady. And, you know, just very proper and everything. And I'm getting ready to pray for her. And I hear the Lord say, here you come now with this mind, the vertical mind of Christ. He says, put your finger in her mouth. What does this brain say? No. Lord, I'm not about to do that. What? When's the last time I washed my hands up? Lord. Here it comes, boy. And I mean, that doubt comes like machine gun bullets. All these people are watching you. What are they going to think? You can't put your finger in that woman's mouth. That's not sanitary. You can't do that. Yada, 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 yada. Here it goes. I haven't prayed yet. This all happens so fast, you guys. And I haven't prayed yet. There she is. I hear it the second time. And it was a little bit slower. It was like, put your finger in her mouth. God, what? Here comes the second mind. You know, no, you can't do that. That's not sanitary. You don't even know her. Yeah, no, you can't be doing that. What is everybody going to think? They're going to run you out of town. They'll never invite you back here again. All of these thoughts just coming from the natural boy, just like machine gun bullets. The servant is trying to get up on the horse. The servant is trying to be the Lord. The servant, what's supposed to be the servant? It's in rebellion, to be honest with you. It wants to be Lord. Third time. I still haven't. This goes so quick, you guys, but it seems like forever. Third time. I'm getting ready to pray for her. And this time it was different. What I heard was, are you going to obey me or not? I knew it was him. I just knew it was him. So I start negotiating with the nice young Southern Belle lady. Well, she wasn't that young. She's probably about 70 at the time, 68, I think, somewhere in there. But anyhow, younger than me now. So I begin negotiating with her. You know, I go, you want me to obey God? Oh, yes, brother. I want you to obey God. Are you sure? Oh, absolutely. So, well, I'm going to pray for you, but I heard him give me an instruction. And you want me to obey God, right? Oh, yeah. Of course, she has no idea. So I took her little face, and I got her by the forehead and the chin. And I went, got her to open her mouth, you know. And I went, poop. And her eyes went, boink. And I don't even remember what I prayed. Something in the name of Jesus. I have no memory. I think I'm gone at that point. And I'm just praying, and I'm embarrassed to be the natural part of me. I'm embarrassed. You know, I would have just loved it if the liquid sunshine had suddenly poured in through the ceiling and I felt the brush of an angel's wing and heard Gabriel's trumpet and glory and a cloud would come. Nothing that I could tell happened. Nothing. I felt so embarrassed, to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to stay like that, by the way. I think we're going to see a lot more things instantly because he told us to believe for instant manifestation. But anyhow, at that one, nothing happened that I could tell. And I said, oh, thank you for letting me pray for you. And I just put my hand on her forehead and prayed a Gary prayer, you know, Lord bless her and help her and heal her and, you know, bless her cat and her dog and her next door neighbor. I couldn't wait to go into the next person. I really couldn't wait for that service to be over. And they wanted to have a little fellowship afterwards at a IHOP right down the street. And I can't get out of going. And I just wanted to leave. I just wanted to go to the motel, be done with this. But you have to go. And I'm hoping, you know, maybe she didn't want to go, you know, because I was embarrassed. And, you know, not only did she go, when they seated us at this long table, guess who sat right next to me? That lady. So I'm still talking with her. I'm kind of half apologizing. I said, it's okay. She was worried about me. She pat me on the, she was on that side. She pat me on the shoulder, you know. It's okay, Brother Gary. It's okay. I wanted you to obey God, you know. Okay, okay, okay. Well, let's fast forward 1 year, and we're getting ready to go back to that same church. And I get an email from the pastor of that church because she had gotten it's either a phone call or an email. I don't remember now, too long ago. But that lady had contacted her because she couldn't come this next year because the night we were having the service was the same night that one of her grandsons or great-grandsons was graduating from high school, and she was going to have to be there. She said, but I want you, she wrote this to the pastor. She said, I want you to tell Gary that my whole life I have suffered with cold sores inside my mouth and on my lips. And almost every month I'll have cold sores, sometimes more than one, very painful. And it's been most of my adult life that I've had it, and I've tried all these different treatments, but nothing has ever worked. But let Gary know that ever since he prayed for me that night, it's been reduced by over 80%. I don't have, but maybe 20% of the ones I used to have. Man, you just don't know what that meant to me. Now, why it wasn't 100%, I do not know. I do not know, and he's never shared with me. I believe in 100% healing, first time, every time, no exceptions. I believe that's God's best, and that's what we're going to shoot for. But hey, 80% better is way, that's way better than no percent better. I'm glad I obeyed him now. And I've done more embarrassing things since. Not only when in the prayer lines, when it comes to words of knowledge and the gifts of healing and working of miracles, I've seen so many things. I thank God for it. But he's really trying to grow us up beyond just the gifts of the Spirit. He's trying to grow us up to where we can serve off the Father's table. Don't have time to really teach that lesson, but really the Father, because of Jesus, the Father's table has been prepared. That's the way Jesus was. And when I remember that, you remember the blind guy that came to Jesus, and most of us would have just assumed what the guy wanted. Well, you know, oh, you came to be healed of your blindness. But Jesus asked him, what would you have me do for you? And to me, that is so informative because really, Jesus, it's like he's standing as a fine waiter. I don't have a towel, but, you know, one of those waiters in the restaurant where they have the towel over their arm, and, And he's standing there like that in front of the Father's table. And he's going, you know, I can serve you anything. I can serve you anything that you need off of my Father's table. What would you have me do for you? Do you know that's where he's trying to grow us up to? Where we can serve whatever they need off of the Father's table. This man needed sight. Okay, I can serve you that. What if they needed hearing? Okay. I watched Pastor Dave serve healing to many, many deaf people during the years that I was blessed for him to be my pastor. I've seen cripples get out of wheelchairs. I've seen all kinds of things. Not only through Dave, I've seen them through these hands. I've seen them through Sue's hands. I've seen them through other ministers. And I thank God for all of that. But most of it, if we'll be honest, was by the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the gifts. We're not demeaning the gifts, but there is a more excellent way. And that's exactly what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, that's good. You should covet them. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet, show I unto you a more excellent way. Then he goes into the love chapter, which God is love. Obviously, if we're going to grow up and mature, the fruit will be love. You know, that's the first fruit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and so forth. Love is the first one. Why? Because God is love. So as we mature, and it's in that very chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, he's talking about maturity because he says, look, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I acted as a child. But when I became a man, or you could say, when I grew up, when I matured, I put away childish things. There is a growing up. Thank God for the gifts. I thank God he can use you in the gifts today, okay? But there is a maturity where he's bringing us. Yes, sir. Oh, I saw that. I'll tell you in a minute. There is a maturing beyond the gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit wills. There is a maturing that is coming to the body of Christ where we will stand in front of the Father's table and we will say, what would you have us do for you? We can serve you whatever you need off of the Father's table. Jesus has provided it all. What do you need? What do you want? Oh, we're in revival now. What he showed me there so quick, I just saw it a flash in an instant. You know, it's easy. Let me see it. He's defining. Give me just a moment. Incoming. I wish I'd have brought my calculator. This isn't a calculator. It happens to be a remote, but it's what's laying here. Can you, like Cole did with me, can you pretend for a minute? Can you pretend this is a calculator? And this, a calculator is pretty much what the natural brain is. God gave it to us for a reason. It's a very good tool. I use my calculators to balance our checkbook and do all kinds of things, you know. Calculators are a really good tool. And I'm glad I don't have to go back to long division like they taught me in school, you know. The calculator's a really good tool, but how stupid is to look at your calculator and go, what would God have me do? That's what I saw. And you know, every time you're talking, when you're trying to draw wisdom from this, now, there is a time to do that. How often do I need? You can go Google and find out how often you should change the oil in your car and stuff like that and learn so many things in the natural. But when it comes to the wisdom that is from above, that is pure and peaceable, but it's going to require the co-laboring of heaven with you to do that. See, Sue and I, this would never have worked if God hadn't have kept his word to us. He said he would speak to the heart. I mean, I'm just taking one area, the finances here on wisdom. He said if we would obey him and not ever send out an appeal letter and not put in return envelopes and give everything away free, he said he would speak to the hearts of the people he chooses to support us in the needs of the ministry. Well, he has done that. I know he has done that because they do that. And I've never, any of you know that's been on our mailing list or anything for any length of time, you know, you don't ever get an appeal letter. We don't ever let you know, oh, we need this or, oh, we need that. If you don't help us, we're going to be walking. The car is going to die, which is not the case. I got two nice cars. But you know that in all these about 25 years, that's never happened because, you know, he told us not to do it. So we haven't done it. Right on the other hand, thank God for you that he has spoken to. I'm always wondering if there's some he spoke to that didn't obey. That's his business with you, not mine. All I know is he has done his part because people just give and we don't ever send out appeal letters. We don't promise you that, you know, anything like, you know, God's going to pay off your mortgage if you give, that type of thing, you know. No, we did what he told us to do, and then he has done what he said he would do. Revolutionary. This wisdom is pure and peaceable. I didn't even get to that part, and I didn't look it up for you, but you know, it's James continues talking about that peace, that wisdom that comes from God. It is pure. It is always pure. It's peaceable, full of good fruit. Now, it's not always peaceable in your natural brain. My natural brain about drove me crazy at first because I was way more used to walking according to the natural brain than I was walking according to the spiritual mind. And I was used to hearing that rascal talk more than this one. I don't know how to, I hope you're getting this. I'm talking about my spiritual mind that I hears from God, okay? And my 3.5-pound brain that's limited to this world. That makes a cross anyway. Not trying to genuflect here. But anyhow, in the early days, I was so more accustomed to living by sight, to say it that way, going by the input. Gary, you've already checked the mailbox 3 times today. Yeah, go check it again. Maybe something. Go check it again. Maybe he's running late. Maybe he forgot an envelope. Maybe he came back. Go check the post office box. Early days. So I didn't. You know what the root of that is? You don't know him very well yet. See, after walking this way for 25 years, there's still times when in the natural, you know, circumstances will raise its ugly head and, you need to be worried. Let's talk financial realm. You need to be worried in the financial realm. But it's like, I don't know that I can prove this from scripture, but all I know is, it's like when that kind of thinking comes now, something in me goes, oh, shut up. He's already delivered us for 25 years, at least 10,000 times. He's going to deliver us again. Go shut up and go to sleep. You might as well get some sleep. He's going to be up all night working on your problem anyhow. Because God never sleeps or slumbers, does he? Oh, my goodness. It is a wonderful way to walk. And I'm telling you, the peace now, even in the face, even when there's, you know, the storms of life come to everybody. You know, there's things that happen. But boy, I'm telling you, there is a peace that you can walk in right in the midst of the storm, you know. When Jesus talked about the storm that came to blow down the house, the guy that heard, both of those people heard the word of God. They heard Jesus speak. They had his words. One obeyed and one didn't. Well, the one that only heard but didn't do, when the storm came, see, he hadn't gotten accustomed to listening to the spiritual mind. So when the storm came, man, he crumbled. He his house fell, and great was the fall of it. But the other one who heard and did, and let's say, you know, did it consistently, he was used to hearing from God. He was used to the supernatural. He knew God would come through, like I know God will come through. Not only by the word now, but by my experience of 25 years. You're not going to convince me he's not going to come through. I mean, he's going to provide. What can I tell you? He said he would, and he will, because that's who he is. Now, we're going to get that in every area of life, when it comes to healing, when it comes to miracles, when it comes to missionaries, when it comes to whatever it is that he's called you to do. We're going to get accustomed to being single-minded. minded. Yes, sir. Right there came Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about you cannot serve God and mammon. See, when you, that's another way. In the beginning, that was the war. Mammon, see, the natural brain, it understands mammon. Mammon is a creation of this world. It's how money works, you know. It's how money works. My natural brain was very trained in how money works. Sue and I were very successful in the real estate business. We had a construction business on the side, and we were doing pretty well, okay? We lived in the right part of town, in the right kind of a house. We both drove brand new Cadillac cars. I wore custom-made suits. She had very nice dresses. On purpose, I bought a tie from Neiman Marcus for $400 just so I could tell people I had it and so they could see it and know that I could afford it. And we're talking in the 70s when $400 was quite different than $400 now. Well, on our way, I understood living for mammon. Boy, I did not understand walking with God, especially in the realm of finances. Are you kidding me? No wonder it was such a shock to my system, because mammon I had learned to trust in. God, I didn't know very well. I was just freshly born again, and I was so thankful to be saved. But I didn't know hardly anything about walking with God in the financial arena, you know, him being a father and a provider. I could read it, but I hadn't experienced him yet. It's one thing to read about him. It's another thing to know him by experience yourself for decades, and like over 25. Now I've been saved over 40 years, you know. And there's arenas that I know him really well in, you know. Other arenas, I'm still learning. Well, aren't we all? Let's get back to that. Do you understand now what a double-minded man is? It makes so much sense to me. It's, in a born-again person, there's two minds. You have the mind of Christ that comes when you get born again. That's the one Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he talks about now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He says the natural man, he can't even know these things. They're foolishness to him. Well, that's the other part. That's the 3.5-pound gray matter brain that's limited in its understanding to the physics of this world. Trouble is, most of us lived by that rascal before we got saved. And if we're not careful, we continue to live after that rascal after we get saved. And that's why we see so little supernatural happening in most Christians' lives. Thank God for the entrance of the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus said he's going to guide you into all truth. Thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us how to sit in the classrooms of the Holy Spirit by meditating and assimilating the Word of God, and by giving lots of time to praying in other tongues, so that he gave us the book and he gave us the teacher. We read the book and the teacher explains the book. It's just so simple. Then as we begin hearing from God in that supernatural, he's not going to talk to you limited to this physical world. He's got bigger. He told me one time, he says, son, I know that he just knows Gary. He says, I know that you would prefer that I just give you a little space in a corner somewhere with a desk and a little small assignment. You just do what you do and nobody knows who you are. And you'd just be real happy with that. Here's the problem. That's not my plan for your life at all. That's what he said. And I'm going, oh, and he's right. I prefer that. Just let me do my work over here in the corner. Nobody even needs to know I'm here, you know. But he said, that's just not my plan for your life. Well, okay, but all right. So anyhow, I'm learning and you're learning. We're not going to be double-minded anymore. Learn to recognize God speaks to you. Walk on the water. Turn the water into wine. Give everything away free. You know, whatever he says to you, do that. But just know there's going to be another voice that rises up telling you, you can't do this. It's impossible. It's going to be limited to the things of this world. And you can't be double-minded. Can't be double. Those two are not going to ever be compatible. You got to put the natural brain in its place. You're a good calculator. Sit right there till I need you. In the meantime, I'm going to follow God. When I need you, we'll figure out a problem. We'll Google something. And then you're going over there. You're my servant. You're not my boss. I follow him. Love you so much. See you again next week. Bye-bye for now.